All right, this is our fourth lesson on evangelism. This is called Evangelism, this course. It's evangelism number four, our fourth lesson, and it's actually our, we're going to get up to gospel presentation number four in this lesson too. I mentioned how the Lord wants to use you to win souls to Christ. He wants to use me. He wants to use men. He wants to use women. He wants to use boys. He wants to use girls. He wants to use adults. He wants to use senior citizens. And I know one of our men was just talking with Roger Olson this afternoon. He's up in his 70s, and he's just going strong, reaching people for Christ. But it sure helps if you know what you're talking about. And so... just by way of review, our first lesson, I said there's three things that we need to focus on as we go out into the community, trusting the Lord to use us. That is, number one, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Go out believing. Go out believing this is what God wants you to do. He said He'll be with you if you go out. And go out trusting Him. To go before you and to prepare people's hearts, and eventually you will go far enough where you will meet somebody who's ready to listen to the gospel, the good news, and how they can be saved from their sins and from the penalty of their sins. And so go out in faith, not in fear. And then go out, number two, with a dependency on the Holy Ghost. A dependency on the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit that births a sinner into the family of God. We are born of the Spirit. It's what's called being born again. It is a work of the Holy Ghost. It is not you or I or any amount of salesmanship where we're able to talk somebody into making a decision. It's the Holy Spirit that must work the conviction of sin and of judgment and of righteousness according to John chapter number 16. So depend on the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And then number three, depend on the Word of God. And that's where we're kind of parked here right now. Depend on the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is His Word that births us into His kingdom. And it is God's Word that does the work. And so you have got to present God's Word to people. And to friends. I think I told you this probably several times, but I remember when I was 13 years of age having learned a gospel presentation in a course that I was taking called Personal Evangelism over at Houghton College, when Houghton College used to be mainly a soul winner, or a Bible college. It's not anymore. But at 13 years of age, I learned how to talk to people in an organized manner. And share the gospel, share the Word of God. And so I was able to start at that age and was able through my teen years and through adulthood to be able to share the gospel in an orderly, organized fashion and see God's Holy Spirit use the Word to do its work. And so that's where we're parked here under number three. And so I'm going to try to give you six different gospel presentations. We've already done the first three. So we're up to four and five tonight, and we'll do one more next week, and then we'll probably go on to a different subject or something. The first gospel presentation we went over was what we called ABCs, the ABCs of salvation. A stood for acknowledge that you are a sinner. B stood for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then C stood for confess the Lord Jesus Christ and call. Confess or call. The C can stand for either. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ or confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, of course, we've got to explain those points using Bible verses followed by illuminating illustrations. Why? Because the Bible says, I believe in four places in the Bible it says, that to be converted, one must understand with the heart. One must understand with the heart to be converted. And we can't be confusing people and just talking about this, that, and the other and bouncing around the Bible and sharing our testimony and so on and so forth. I'm just saying this, there's a better chance that a person will get saved if you present the gospel in an organized manner, in an orderly fashion. Again, depending on the Holy Spirit, depending on the Word of God, but in an orderly fashion, helping them to understand with the heart. How can they believe with the heart unless they understand with the heart? The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we ought to present the gospel in an orderly fashion. And so we have these presentations. We've been giving you the notes. We're going to condense it all into one booklet that you can literally carry around with you. Even when you go out on visitation, you can carry the booklet around with you so you don't have to think you have to have it memorized. A lot of people stop and they don't even try to win souls because they think they have to have some great presentation memorized. You don't have to. There's nothing wrong with just turning in your Bible and following a plan or turning in a booklet like we'll give you that'll have a plan. So the first plan was ABCs of salvation. And number two, the second plan was the four S's of salvation. Does anybody here happen to remember what the four S's were? Just off the top of your head. Anybody remember what the four S's were? Number one was the sinner. Number two was the sentence. Number three was the substitute, okay, or the Savior, okay. And then number three is the salvation, okay. Now, there's four words right there that can help guide you in leading someone to Christ. A, or number one, the sinner. We got to show everybody that they're a sinner. Get them lost. Number two, the sentence. What is the sentence for the sin? What is the sentence for the sin? 10 weeks in jail or what? Death? What? Okay, separation, eternal separation from God, all right. And then number three, the substitute. Who is the substitute? Jesus Christ. He paid our death penalty for us. The sentence was death. Christ paid your sentence. He paid my sentence for us. And then the salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a synonym for salvation. All right. And the third presentation last week was the Romans Road. The Romans Road. And that was just how if you get, for instance, a soul winner's New Testament like this, you can mark it with certain verses in the book of Romans, all within one or two pages of each other. You can highlight those verses, underline them, put little notes at the bottom of the page on where to go to next. And so instead of flipping all around the Bible trying to find verses here and there, it just kind of systematically takes us through these plans in just one or two pages of turning the Bible. And you can see that. That's probably been one of the most used soul-winning plans. Now this fourth presentation, these notes in front of you here, is called the Wordless Book. As far as I know, I have never used this once in my life. But it's good for children's work. And for instance, many of you men here, we have asked you to help in children's church on Sunday mornings. And as Brother Sam is preaching and some of the other ladies like Rebecca and Kaylee and those that are helping with the program, there are times when children want to receive Christ as their Savior. I believe I was told, Mr. Lape, are you here tonight, Mr. Lape? Russ? I think Sunday he took three children into the back room in children's church this Sunday who wanted to know about salvation and wanted to know how to be saved. And so we're organizing different illustrated flip charts that different gospel presentations can be used to talk to these children. And because some of the children, you know, they want to get saved every week. They just don't understand the doctrine of salvation, eternal security, that type of thing. But maybe by using different illustrations. Now, this is what they use here. This is called the Wordless Book. And this is good to help children and little children. Now, before we get into this, let us remember that children can be saved. Salvation is not as complex as adults make it. Well, you hear some adults talk about repentance and faith and so on and so forth, and by the time they're done with their doctrinal exegesis, you'd wonder if anybody can ever be saved. They make it so complex. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 18, verse 3? Anyone know? That's in there too, but... All right, that's in that chapter 2. Okay. All right, anybody know it off memory? All right, look down on your sheet, way towards the bottom, and look under, where is it? Do I have it? Oh, yeah, right at the bottom paragraph. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see it? Last paragraph, or second last paragraph, actually, right before a child's prayer. All right, Jesus said, unless we become as little children. What's that mean? That means childlike faith in Christ. Childlike faith in Christ. One of the problems with adults is they say, it can't be that easy. Because they've made it so complex because of their involvement in religion. And they say, oh, no, you got to be baptized, and you got to, you know, go to church, and you got to give money, and you got to take the sacraments, and you got to do all these things and all this penance, and then you got to, after doing all that, you still got to just maybe hope God shows you a little favor, or when you die, you got to have a whole bunch of people praying for you and burning candles and so on. Man, it gets so complex, you'd wonder, can anyone be saved? Jesus said it's a little child can be saved. And so we believe in child conversion. But you don't want to give them false hopes either. And it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. I've said that every single week. Pastor Seth was saved when you were 5 years of age, I believe. That's his testimony. All right? And maybe some of you were that young. But it is possible around that age. Of course, he grew up in a pastor's home, and he grew up with it every day of his life. All right, but the wordless book has different colors to it, and this is just an illustration for children. Now, I have seen books about this big that women have carried in their purses. They're just about that big, and they can share that with children. I've seen ladies have bracelets on with different colored beads. They got black, red, white, gold, and green bead on their bracelets. And sometimes if they're talking to kids, they'll say, do you know what these stand for? And they'll be able to go through them. And so on. So this is, I don't know who invented this, maybe Child Evangelism Fellowship or something, some ministry to help. But notice what these things mean. The black page, of course, stands for sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This means that no matter how good you are, you can't measure up to God's standard, which is perfection. Perfection. That's all you need to go to heaven is be perfect. That leaves us all out, unless we can be made perfect. And we can be made perfect by being washed from all of our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ and clothed in his righteous garments. Then the Lord sees us through Christ's blood and through Christ's righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Righteousnesses are all the good things we try to do and earn favor with God. The Bible says a person who sins is living in darkness. Our sin makes us dark and dirty on the inside and the outside. God can't let sinners into his perfect heaven. Now, this is kind of child speak here. But that's kind of how you don't... I don't know. I wouldn't be very good at child evangelism because of the big words I use in illustrations sometimes. But you got to get down on a child's level, and that's how we have this presentation here, that any one of you can explain this to a child. And so black represents sin, and sometimes blackness and darkness are tied together in the same verse, like Proverbs 7:9, Jude 1, verse 13. It talks about blackness and darkness being the same, and people who are in sin are in darkness. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 says, we are the children of light. Notice that there. I've asked you to open that in the Bible. It's not on your sheet. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So notice, Every human being is described in verse 5 here as either being in the light or being in the darkness. Okay, and so the black represents darkness. And you want to get the children to understand that. But there's good news. The red page stands for Christ's blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now, you're going to have to define remission to a child. You tell them the word remission means forgiveness. We can never have our sins forgiven without someone's sacrifice. Someone has to die for us. Jesus Christ, God's Son, knew this and gave himself to be that sacrifice. We now have a choice. We can accept Christ's offer to pay for our sins' penalties, or we can continue trying to make it to heaven on our own. If you choose to accept him, and turn to the white page, God will clean your dirty heart. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's easy to illustrate up here. When we get snow, snow just covers up everything. It can really make the countryside look beautiful and yards look beautiful. It can hide a lot of junk. Snow can. And that's what happens when you get saved. It's like snow. It just covers. God doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees Christ's righteousness. So the blackness of our sin is washed away by the blood of Christ, and then in the sight of God, he sees us as white as snow. Another verse that says whiter than snow in the scriptures. By accepting, there is a verse here that you can explain to children about substitution, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're made the righteousness of God. We don't become the righteousness of God. We're made. It's an act of God. It's not an act of man. By accepting Christ's payment, we get all of Jesus' righteousness. Remember, righteousness means goodness. And how good is Jesus? This verse tells us he knew no sin. Jesus is perfect. When God looks at us, he doesn't see the bad things we have done. He sees the perfection of Jesus. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Okay, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, these you're going to have to simplify that if you're talking to a kid, but you could use this on an adult too. I heard about a lady that used to do that on the plane. She talked to adults using her little book. She'd pull that little book out of her purse and say, you ever seen this book before? Of course, she said, not to see. It's just a bunch of colors. And then she would go through it with them. And she would lead adults to Christ using the wordless book on the airplane. Now, the next page, well, it's not really gold, is it? It's supposed to be gold. This page stands for heaven. Revelation 21:18 says, and the city was pure gold. John 3:16 promises, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting means forever. These kids might not understand these big words. Where will we live forever if we believe on Jesus? Heaven. What's heaven like? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even imagine the wonders and beauties of heaven. And all we must do is believe that Jesus is the only way there. And we can know for a fact that we'll spend eternity there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And last of all, the green page. This actually should follow leading a child to a decision to receive Christ as Savior, because this talks about growth. And we don't want to confuse them, so maybe we'll switch this around when we get to the book. But this page stands for growth, green. The Bible says, of course, this is to be after you're saved, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus, we ought to want to know more about him. the things he has done for us, and the things he wants to do through us. How do you get to know someone? By talking to them. God talks to us when we read his word, the Bible. We talk to God through prayer. Why not start today growing in God? Then you can be like the person described in Psalm 1:3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So really, we should try to lead the child of Christ between the gold page and the green page, and then talk about growth as discipleship afterwards. But here's something that you should tell children. It's a great verse to work with children. By the way, turn to Matthew 18. If you're working with children, use these two verses. Okay, I used to work with children in the bus ministry, and I used to lead them to Christ, sometimes on the bus. So on the bus is a great place to lead children to Christ, and in junior church is a great place to lead children to Christ, and in your Sunday school room, even if you got to be late for church, if you need to take a few minutes with your Sunday school student and lead them to Christ, you go ahead and do it. I mean, that's excusable. But I want you to notice two verses here you ought to share with children if they're wondering if they can be saved. The first we already read, verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can show a child that. You can tell them, you know, your little children can be converted and trust Christ. But another verse to show children, please look at verse 14. This is a great verse to show children, Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Isn't that a great verse to talk to a kid about? You could show that. You could read that to a kid. It's very simple. And you could say, according to that verse there, what doesn't God want you to do? He doesn't want you to perish. It's not his will that you should perish. It's not his will that one child anywhere in the world should perish. That's why we don't believe in five-point Calvinism in this church. And we believe in verses like this that are plain and clear. That if God wants every child to be saved, then certainly he'd want every adult to be saved, wouldn't he? Because you've got to be a child before you can be an adult. Does that make sense? And even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Ushers, you can get the next one passed out here. We'll get to that in a minute. But please, if you're working with children, show them Matthew 18:3, Matthew 18:14. God doesn't want any little child to perish. And you know, those of you that work with children know that eventually there comes a time where almost every one of them accepts Christ as their Savior. Almost every single child will accept Christ as their Savior. If we keep giving them the gospel and maybe using different plans until finally they understand with the heart and they believe and are converted. So let's believe in child conversion. The world is, history has been full of examples of child conversion. I don't know how accurate this is. Of course, Brother Ab Thomas quotes this all the time. But he says that 85% of all believers in Jesus Christ say that they came to know Christ as their Savior before their 14th birthday. That's true in my case. I don't know about you, but that's true. Usually it's before they're 14 that they'll accept the Lord as their Savior. And probably if we polled our church, it would be close to that. So if it worked for you, then let's not go make it all complex with all kinds of doctrine and think it's not going to work for the kids of this day and age. Children can be saved. They can believe. All right, now the gospel presentation number 5, I believe that's for you. We'll go quickly through this, and then we'll go through one more next week. This is called the 4 P's of eternal life. We studied one called the 4 S's of salvation. And again, you're just using words that are kind of easy to memorize, and then using some verses to back up the words, and then maybe an illustration or a statement to help with the understanding so they can understand with the heart and be converted. Now, we use this around at Christmas time. I know we passed this out when we were going door-to-door Christmas caroling this year. But there's a great verse in the Christmas story, and you can use it all year long. And it's in the Gospel of Luke. And let me read it. It's in Luke 2 and verse 10 through 11. So let's say you choose to use this presentation. Again, we're just giving you an orderly way to share Christ. All these five so far have done the same thing. From the Gospel of Luke in the Bible, we read this as part of the Christmas story. And the angel said unto them, that is the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now notice we have emboldened the words here. Why? Because as you're talking to somebody about their soul, you could point to those emboldened words and say, now, according to this verse of Scripture, unto you is born what? A Savior, okay? But that might not mean anything to them. They might not even be aware that they need a Savior. And so you've got to convince them they need a Savior and that there is one that has been born unto them, all right? What does it mean? Why does man need a Savior? Please consider this simple outline. Again, you could read this. You don't have to memorize these. You could just read this to somebody, and God will use His Word to do the work as you depend on the Holy Ghost. Notice, they all start with P. It's called alliteration. It's the big word for it when you use something, but it helps people understand. Notice number one, the problem. God is holy, and we are sinners. By the way, I'll get this to this in the next plan, which I think is the most comprehensive. But the word holy means to be perfect in righteousness, without sin. God is holy, and we are all sinners. The punishment for sin is eternal death. And now here's a couple verses that say that. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Man needs a Savior because he is a sinner. So we have established the problem. Now, second, the plan. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay for our sins so we can go to heaven. There's God's plan. There is no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." God provided a Savior. Right here you could revert back to the top. For unto you is born a Savior. This is one of the most important statements that you need to emphasize, and I'd encourage you to bring it out in every gospel presentation. If we could save ourselves, we would not need a Savior. And people need to think about that. If we could save ourselves, we would not need a Savior. If we could save ourselves, why would Christ have to die on the cross? Ask people that question. You'd be surprised how it'll start making them think. Yeah, wow. Never thought of that. If you could go to heaven by being baptized and taking the sacraments, if that's all you have to do, then why did Christ have to die on the cross? A lot of times they start thinking for the first time in their life, wow. God provided a Savior. We cannot save ourselves, so Jesus came to save us and take us to the Father. And that's what these verses just said. Now the promise, number three. Any who trust in Jesus Christ to pay for their sins can receive Him as their Savior. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what does a Savior do? He saves people. There's the promise. And then the petition. Now, this is a word someone might not understand. But it's in the Bible. And mention to them that a petition is a request. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, please do so now. Simply ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Tell Him you believe He is God, rose from the dead, and paid for your sins with His precious blood. turn from sin and unfruitful works to Christ. If you will trust only in Jesus to save you, then you can know you have eternal life. And these verses here tell us, I love this text, 1 John 5:13-15, because it ties salvation and believing with prayer. We've heard of a sinner's prayer for salvation. Of course, we're not saved through a prayer. We're saved through Christ. But these verses tell us that we can pray. If you know something is God's will, you can pray and expect Him to hear you. And notice how these are tied together. Let me read the verses. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the Son of God. So notice, by believing on the name of the Son of God, you know you have eternal life. And here's a promise. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that, these words are important, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now you could ask the person, is it God's will to save you? What would they have to say? Well, yes, it's God's will to save you. Then what's the next three words? He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. So if you ask the Lord to save you, can you ask that believing it's God's will? And if you ask the Lord to save you, it promises that He will not only hear you, but He will give you the petition you desired of Him. Next verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this will give them the faith in Christ to pray and ask the Lord to save them. God gives us repentance and faith so we can call upon Christ to save us. These verses teach that if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you, He will hear you and give you this petition that you make. Why not do this right now? Here is a suggested prayer that might show the desire of your heart. Notice, petitions that we desire. Sometimes, when I get a chance, I will actually read, if there is a prayer, I'll read through it before we pray. And I will ask them this question, does that prayer sound like the desire of your heart? And people will say yes. I've seen it happen. You know, that sounds like what I'd like to do. Then why don't we pray right now? And let me just pray for you. God is everywhere. I always say that. God is everywhere. You know, He's not just at church. God is everywhere. And God is here right now. And He can hear us pray. And if it be all right, let me just pray for you that God will help you understand this. And then I'll stop praying. And maybe I can help pray with you. And you can pray to God. I'll help you with the words, because sometimes people just need to be what we call led to Christ. We say we want to go out and lead people to Christ. We should not go out and confuse them or bring them this close and then stop. We lead people to Christ. And here's just a suggested prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that my problem is sin and that I need a Savior. I call upon You to save my soul from eternal punishment. I believe You are the Son of God and that You died on the cross because of my sins. I ask You to save me and believe You have heard my petition to give me eternal life. Amen. So here's a fifth gospel presentation. And again, you don't have to memorize these things. You could almost carry this with you and share that with others. All right, we'll learn one more next week, and then we'll go on to a different subject on Wednesday nights. But let's bow for prayer now. And as we close, let's have everybody in this room with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And maybe